Well, we're in a series, and that series is on great questions in the Bible. Now, I have preached so many of them so far, I can't go back and tell you each one I preached because I can't remember them all now. But I am going to preach on one tonight. If you got your Bible, go to the oldest book in the Bible. The oldest book in the Bible. How many know where to go? Job. Job chapter number 3. Job chapter number 3. We preached this morning, and that song went along with what I preached this morning, that he can do abundantly above I'm able to ask or think. And can God furnish a table for his people in the wilderness? I'm a testimony that he can. Tonight, I want to talk to you about what I would just label this a serious question. And here's what I'm preaching on tonight. Think about it a moment. Let it sink in. Have you ever asked why? Can I take a survey? And I'd like for you to participate. How many in this room's ever asked why? That's the most of you. And probably some of you didn't raise your hand, could have raised your hand. Job in chapter 3 finds himself in this place. Now what I'm going to do is read one verse. Then I want you to hold your place there because I'll be going down this chapter. Plus I may refer back to chapter 1 and chapter 2 as we get into this book tonight. But I'll just read one verse tonight out of verse 23. And then we'll share some more verses in a moment. Here's what Job said. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid? And whom God hath hedged in. My, what a statement. Now, if you go in my library, I don't have the biggest library, but I have a great library. If you go in my library, there's a lot of books in there. And I got a lot of commentaries. I probably got 10 on Job. And I just read through them. And you know what they said about chapter 3? They said that it was one of the most depressing chapters when you read it. And I don't want to depress you tonight, but it might at first. And it seems like one of the most miserable chapters in the Bible. Because in this chapter, we're going to look at the heart of a man, and we're going to listen to the words of a man who was in distress, who was discouraged, who was going through a difficult time. And he asked why. Now, will you with me again? Follow me a little bit. Go to verse 11. Now, I just want to read this little section to you and down to verse, and I'll read about 5 verses, including the one I just read as a text. And I want you to just get the heart of this. There's 5 whys here. Look what he said in verse 11. Why died I not from the womb? Why did my mother just miscarry? That's what he said. That's it. Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why didn't I just die when they birthed me? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breasts that I should suck? Oh, glory. Y'all with me? Look at, man, let me read that verse again. Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breasts that I sucked? Look at verse 23 again. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? Now, if you read the first 3 chapters, In chapter 1 and chapter 2, I would label that the calamities of Job. But chapter 3, I don't know if you've been there. And I hope you're not so self-righteous that you wouldn't admit it. But chapter 3 is the confusion of Job. You ever been confused? You ever had something happen that just absolutely knocked you off your game? That puzzled you? That sunk you down? That's where Job is. He's confused. Now, I don't know how many of you read. I do a lot of it. One of my favorite authors, if you go into my library, if you walk in that door and turn to the right, the wall to the right, there's a blue set of books on the bottom shelf by Herbert Lockyer. It's like all the questions in the Bible, all the parables in the Bible, all the doctrines in the Bible, all the women in the Bible, and all this. And man, there's 20 volumes. And he's a masterful writer, but he wrote one book that's not in that series called Dark Threads the Weaver Needs. You know what I'm talking about. The threads that sew something up. I read chapter 1, and here's what. Do y'all mind me reading the first chapter, a little bit of the first chapter of his book? The chapter's entitled, I Sat Where They Sat. By the way, you'll never know what it's about until you sit where they sat. You know people that's confused and upset and hurting and have goofed up and did everything wrong. Hey, listen, you don't know until you sit where they sat. Amen? And let me read to you just a paragraph. He said, my dear wife and I have been married 66 years. But through the last 7 or so, she's been particularly dead to the world. Mentally afflicted, my lifelong partner has no consciousness of the past or the present, is unable to recognize her own dear loved ones, is speechless, am almost totally blind and deaf, is incontinent, is bedridden, has to be fed like a baby with baby food. Apart from a daily visit from a nurse who washes and protects her from sores, the care of my helpless one has been my responsibility. Here's what he said. And I look upon her afflicted body, and I asked, why? And that's what I want to deal with tonight, when we ask why. Let me give you 3 things, and I'm done. I want you to notice, and I want you to go back to chapter 1 and chapter 2. Kind of keep your finger there, and I'll go some verses. I want you to notice, number 1, the magnitude of Job's trial. Now, look at chapter 3 for a moment. Look at verse number 1. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. I want you to do this. Read the first 2 words with me. Job 3, 1, 2 words. Say it again, church. After. Say it again. After what? This. After what? This. What was this? Was the magnitude of Job's trial. Let me see if I can, without embellishing it, just tell it like it is. Here's what happened to his life. Number 1, his finances were depleted. My Bible said, look at verse 3, his substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And I do no harm in the scripture by saying he was the richest man in the East. He was the Warren Buffett. He was the Gates. He was the Jeff Bezos. But he lived for God and they're heathens. But anyway, that's another story. He loved God. He was rich and prosperous. But then I want you to go down to verse 13. Are y'all still with me? Just follow me. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating, Zach, and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. They have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell you. Oh, glory. And while he was yet speaking, there came another that said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and had burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone. While he was yet speaking, there come another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only have escaped. In other words, Job, you were rich 10 minutes ago. Now you are dirt poor. Now hold a minute. Some of y'all don't understand that. Now, if you like me, you understand what being poor as your kid was. Now, when we was in Yuppie, when I was a young'un, we were poor. We were real poor. I know you're not going to believe this, kids. I never ate a pizza until I was 13. I never knew what one was. I didn't know. We didn't have a McDonald's, but you know them things that they had like McDonald's? What was them things? Yeah, that and some other goofy thing. I didn't know what BBF. Man, once I got 15, got to go to BBF, I thought I went to heaven. I ate eight of them like Big Macs. Eight, you said you ate eight? Well, yeah. Good, I could eat eight. I ate eight, three fries and a fish sandwich. I mean, man, I was a big boy. It took a lot for me to be nourished. But I didn't know what money was. But listen, when you don't have it, it don't bother you because you don't know what it's like to have it. Hold on, I'm going to a point. This man had it. Then lost it all. Lost all his wealth in one swoop. Now I want you to know something. You want to know why he asked why? He went from riches to poverty that quick. I want to tell you, there's no strain. And this number, no wonder it's the number one cause for a divorce than financial strain. It's tough. We ought to pray for people that have to struggle to make it. We ought to. There's a lot of people that don't have it nice as most of us. Somebody help me preach. It's what Job did. Then that's not all. Not only did his finances get depleted, sometimes we don't have a lot of problems, but we have some. But we think we're Job. We ain't Job. Then he said his family's dead. You said, what do you mean family's dead? Some of y'all right now, some of you had loved ones die. You've been through it. It's hard. It's been hard for you to grip. And I'll be honest with you, because I have not lost a child, I don't understand it. But I will tell you this, I've done enough children's funerals, enough little baby funerals, enough 7-year-old funerals and 9-year-old funerals that I want to tell you, I don't know what they're exactly going through, but I know I felt pain when I seen it. And Job lost 7 sons and 3 daughters. And you know what? My wife was saying this on the way back to church tonight. She said, "Preacher, when you preach like you did this morning and make it so plain about, you know, how much a miracle that was, we don't really fathom it. We think that this is some fictional story." Hey, by the way, his name was Job, but it could have been Dave. Could have been Lance. Could have been Denny. Hey, it could have been Mike Davis. We don't know. By the way, that ought to make us hug our kids a little tighter. That ought to make us love our children. Think about it. I've done a lot of funerals. The worst I've done was 3 at one time. I want you to know, I've done 3. I can't remember when it was, but I do remember 3 caskets. I've done a funeral for 3 people. How you do a funeral for 3 people? I want y'all to know, I couldn't hardly talk. 3. Look out. Look here, Job. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 caskets. Whew. Ain't no wonder when he got to chapter 3. He said, why did I even get born? By the way, verse 5, it wasn't like Job didn't love his kids. Verse 5 of chapter 1, he prayed for them. Hey, you kids ought to thank God for paying dad and paying mom. You ought to thank God your dad and mom's not a heathen. You ought to thank God you got a grandpa, grandma loves God. Job loved his kids, he prayed for them. But he lost them all. The story doesn't end there. Also, his flesh was diseased. Look at chapter 2 and verse 7. You there? You want to find out about his kids, read verse 20 through 22. But chapter 2, verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with some boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. How many of y'all when you was a boy had a boil? How many's ever had a boil? How many's had more than one? Man, I don't like them. Runny, pussy sores. It'd been all right if it just been one boil. But Tyler, they were from the bottom of his feet, all the way up his legs, all the way up his arms. His face was full of boils. His head had boils. He had boils in his mouth. They were despicable. And he was down there, found himself in the ashes, scraping. Here's what John Phillips said in summing up the magnitude. Here's what John Phillips said. He said, Job was crippled with bankruptcy, crushed by bereavement, and covered with boils. And then he asked, why? But I want you to go a little further with me. That's the magnitude. Now, I haven't lost 10 kids. And right now, I'm still able to work, and God's blessed me with a paycheck. And though I've had some health problems, man, I'm in pretty good shape for a 72-old geezer, whatever you call them. That's me. That's what Margarita called me that every once in a while. I'm pretty good shape. Amen. How many believe your preacher's in good shape, man? Listen to me, 2 years ago, couldn't walk. God miraculously healed me. And I'm jumping around like a 17-year-old now. Woo! It's called somebody pray. But I want you to know, secondly, by the way, when we get under the magnitude of the load, here's the second thing that happens. The misery of Job's trial. Have you ever been miserable? Come on, look at me. Have you ever had so much pain in your life that you were living out misery? That's where he was, Sean. Look at verse 13, chapter 2, before we proceed in verse chapter 3. Look at this. This is amazing to me. So they sat down with him upon the ground with Job. 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. I want you to know something. You look at me. You better look at me. I'll tell you this. He's stricken with boils, lost his kids, lost his finances. But I want y'all to know something. They ain't nothing quite like mental grief. Where the devil plays with your mind. Somebody help me. Ain't nothing like that. When your mind gets in such a, hey listen, they all sat there and watched him. Didn't nobody say nothing for 7 days and 7 nights because he was in heavy grief. You know, there's some people, you see them on Sunday morning, they look okay. But you really don't know what they went through this week. You don't know the night they had to spend last night. You don't know the tears that were on their pillow last night. You didn't know the hours of tossing to the right shoulder and their left shoulder and the hours of rolling in the bed and nothing helped them sleep. Now listen to this. Plunge in chapter 3 with me. He deplores the announcement of his birth, but that's miserable. I tell you what, I've been through a lot of things. And I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing like being pounded in your mind. Like dealing with pressure in your head. Come on now. You start almost dreaming up things. You make them worse than they really are. Am I right, Jeff? It's got so bad. He deplored the announcement of his birth. In verse 1, said, after this, opened Job his mouth and cursed the day. Hey, listen to me, that's bad. Verse 11, why died I not from the womb? Hey, Zach, he said, why in the world did God allow me to be born if I was going to go through this? If you ever go through a trial, it makes you feel like you just wish you wasn't alive. I'm not talking about suicidal. I'm just talking about, I just wish I wasn't here. That's where he was, Chad. And then in verse 5 and 6, look at chapter 3. He desires the arrival of his death. He said, let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not join unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the numbers of the month. He said, I'd just like to die. He's hurting deeply. I'll get this. You better not be so self-righteous. I know some people bring stuff on themselves. We all have. I don't change the fact of the pain. But sometimes we don't do anything wrong. And we still have to go through the pain. Are you a reader? Martha Snell Nicholson, her poem, Chad, I don't know if you've ever read this, it kind of touched me, called Guest. Here's what she said in her writing of this poem. Pain knocked upon my door, said that she had come to stay. And though I would not welcome her, but bade her to go away, she entered in like my own shade. Whew. She followed after me, and from her stabbing and stinging sword, no moment was I free. That's miserable. That's pain. You know what I think? Sometimes God allows us to go through some stuff like this so we can be relevant to somebody else that's going through it. Ain't nobody here not went through some kind of pain. But you know what that does for you, Brother Dave? It makes us relevant to the hurting. Boy, I'm bogging down. Is this okay? Number three. This is the one I want to get to. The mystery of Job's trial. It was shrouded in mystery. How many of you would think it was shrouded in mystery from his standpoint? Now, you and me, we read the book of Job. Tim, we read the book of Job. We know what it was about. We know what his affliction was about. It was an argument between Satan and God. And God trusted him enough, he believed Job would not curse him. And he let the devil have him. Job didn't know all that. Look at me. You don't get nothing, you get this. You don't know what God has, the purpose God has for your trial. You have no clue. Because you're in the middle of it. You're right in the middle. But we have the scripture that tells us. Am I preaching? Let me finish. Lord, am I doing anything right? I hope so. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 23, the great perplexity of life. I want to ask anybody in here other than myself, because I tell you one thing, you can't say I'm not a transparent preacher. I am. I want you to know I've been confused as a termite and a yo-yo. My staff, they're young. They ain't been beat and thrown up against the wall like I have yet. They've just been kicked a couple times below the knees. But you know what they ask me? They're young, but they're not blind. You know what they say sometimes? They say, preacher, why is it some of the people you've helped the most turned out to be the worst and hate the church the worst? Have you asked me that? Why is it some knucklehead has to be the critic of every preacher? Am I preaching?
Tell about that, preacher. Come on, amen.
Why is it people you've given money to and love to, loyalty to? I know people I've been so loyal to who's not much loyal to me. It's okay. But you hear me? That's mystery. That's perplexing. Now look at verse 23, and I'm trying to close. If I go 10 minutes over, will y'all not kill me? Let's look at that verse carefully, and I'll be done. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? Whew. See, what Job was thinking is his suffering seemed to be without a justifiable cause. How many's ever been there? What was this? And then it says the word way there. Here's what he was really saying to God. I don't understand the course my life's taken. And I don't understand why this all is happening. And then this is what he said. I'll sum it up for you. He says, why me? Why her? Why him? Why this? Why that? Why now? If you got a minute, amen. All it's going to take. In February 15th, 1947, a airline bound for Quito, Ecuador, crashed in the 14,000-foot mountain of El Tabazo and dropped in flames, Chad. And everybody didn't know what hit them. They all died instantly. There was one person on that plane. His name was Glenn Chambers. I don't know if you remember him. He was a missionary. He was on his way to begin a ministry with a voice of the Andes. That's where he was. In the Miami airport, and I've been there, He wanted a scrap piece of paper to send his mom a letter. And he tore one out, and here's what the letter said, or the piece of paper said, Chad. Why? He didn't know that. Then he wrote a little letter to his mama. The plane crashed, and when she opened the letter, here's what she read. The first thing she seen when she opened that little piece of paper was, why? There's no question more tormenting than why. Why did my husband die ahead of me? Why did my parents have a dreadful disease? Why did I lose a child early? Why am I a struggling father and I've lost my job and I can't take care of my children? Why did a close friend of mine commit suicide? Why? Job's way was hidden and concealed. But I want to finish the great promise for life. I better end up good, hadn't I? Because I know you might say, that's probably the most depressing chapter I've ever heard in my life. It is. But you know what? There's people that you meet on a daily basis that's living this chapter. And look at me. Look at me. You don't know of tomorrow that you might start living this chapter. Let me give you the promise. I know you've heard it before. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I don't understand it, but I do know that all things work together. Lois and I was talking about food before service and Thanksgiving. She makes the second best mushroom biscuit, mushroom roll in the world behind my wife. And y'all say toss up. I'll tell you what we'll do, Lois. You go ahead and fix six tonight for me, and I'll just see how few improved or not. But I'm going to tell you what, when Lois starts out and Marguerite starts out with them old things, I've tasted them in the raw form. Lois, they ain't tasty. Right? I seen the ingredients you two put in them, and for the life of me, I don't know how they come out. Manna from heaven. Put some real butter on them, and your tongue will beat your head off. Oh, excuse me. Getting carried away here. But Lois, there's just something about the oven of heat that transforms that. And I don't understand why God allows good and God allows bad. God allows a little cancer here and a little arthritis here and a little blindness here and a little heart problem here. Then he'll put a little joy here and a little kindness here and a little mercy here. Then he puts it all together, puts it in the oven, and we eat it. And we have real butter on it. If you don't eat real butter, you're out of fellowship, probably not even right with God. And it rolls down your lips. But I want you to know something. What a great promise. Though we are in pain, though we go through tough situations, there is a God that has a big old plan. Oh, may I do this in closing? I want to read the note he wrote to Glenn Chambers, the note. Can I read the note? I told you what the headline was. Here's the note. God is too kind to do anything cruel. Too wise to make a mistake. Too deep to ever have to explain himself. God doesn't have to explain himself to you.
Amen.
And you know what Job came up with when he got to the 13th chapter of the book of Job in verse 15? You know where he got in his Christian life? He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. If you're here, you're not saved. You're going to go through trials. Your problem is you're going to go through them without God. But if you're here tonight, maybe perplexed, maybe in pain, can't figure out what's went on in your life, what I'd like for you to do, why don't you come around this altar? If you've asked why, won't you come as Lois comes and sings? Nobody will sing a more perfect song than she will. Won't you sit by your seat, pray for yourself or somebody else that's struggling, and just come around and say, God, don't understand it all, but I'm sticking with you because I know you love me. Stand with me. Online, I pray you'll pray right by your bed or your chair. Our Lord, touch as our people come and get some help. In Jesus' name, amen.